Well, this is Sports Day for Wilson Homes. Chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyle, Scoop.
Our next guest, Jared, is someone I'm very intrigued to interview because a lot of our chat in the last couple of weeks, and for good reason, has been about, you know, the doomsday scenarios. How are clubs going to survive?
Yep.
How are people going to survive from losing jobs? But our next guest, who runs his own podcast, has been concentrating a lot on what are things going to look like in the future? How are clubs going to continue to make money? Well, we do have, of course, we've got a future.
Good.
Well, someone has a future. His name is Sean Callanan. He's the head of Sports Geek, the podcast, and also the founder of SportsGeekHQ.com. And he joins us on the line. Sean, welcome.
Thanks, guys.
Sean, can you guarantee us that we've got a future? Because I'm starting to feel a bit flat.
No, I do think we've definitely got a future. I think the fans will return to the stands. I think everyone will be absolutely ready to be heading back to the MCG, to Marvel, to stadiums around the world. So, the world may be different when we get there.
Well, you recently did a podcast, and our producer had a listen. He said, you've got to speak to this guy because he'll give you the way forward. He'll give us the map on how sport will bounce back from COVID-19, which was the subject of your recent podcast.
Yeah, Jared, I mean, we've been working with sports teams for 10, 11 years now when little networks like Facebook and Twitter and that started and help the teams better connect with the fans and get them into the stands. And so we've now seen this explosion of creation of digital media and ways for them to connect and engage with fans. And so now it's about doubling down on that. They've built these great platforms and these great databases and fan bases, these digital cheer squads, if you will. Now it's how can they better connect with them and how they can help their partners better connect with them. So, I mean, at the moment, the real issue is we don't have any content to deliver to partners. Our sports have monetized these audiences.
Yep.
And so there's going to be a lot of innovation to make that work for this year. And then when sports does come back, whether it's July, August, September, or whatever, then we're actually going to have to really snap into action to do a lot of content and a lot of different initiatives to support the sponsorship contracts that the teams and leagues have already got. And the good thing about digital, I mean, I love the MCG, but there's only so many signs that can go around the MCG, even if it is digital. We can do it. We can do multiple digital campaigns, and the appetite from fans hasn't gone away, and it hasn't gone down before COVID, and it's only going to be accelerated after it. So I think there'll be more focus now on the fans that aren't in the stands. How can we better engage them? And how can we can help our partners engage them, but as well also bring those fans back to the stands?
So, Sean, the ones that aren't in the stands, give us some of the ways we can help engage them, because I think what you said is right. Once footy does return, and we don't know when that will be, the appetite will be there. I don't think we're going to have any trouble in the first few weeks back filling out our stadiums.
No. And I think everyone's sort of really now realised, the value of sports. And I think TV broadcasters will be really happy that sports is back on, back on air, because, that keeps and drives everything for their business. So it's a bit of a reset in that space. But the opportunity has always been, the 99% of fans that aren't in the stands. And so now everyone's really looking at that harder. And so we might start seeing ways to better engage the fan that is sitting on the couch and how they can support the club and be part of the club and what that might look like. And technology will play a part, but then also what the teams do from a content point of view will also play a part.
Do you see with the digitalisation of the sport and the connection with the supporters of each particular club in each particular code, do you see that can end up being a money-making scheme outside of just as another platform for advertising?
I think so. I think one of the things that will come into play, say the broadcast deals and the like that are going to come up next, archive content and access to archive content might be something that becomes more valuable to the leagues and the teams. I think we'll see definitely a renaissance of watching back classic games. That's what's going to happen. We're seeing it on you know, Fox Footy. We're seeing Channel 7 play old games. If you were to ask someone to watch a replay 3 weeks ago, they would have looked at you like you're crazy. Whereas now there is actually that kind of, there is an appetite for that kind of content. And that's where we might see teams and leagues say, well, we want to keep some of that content and be able to dial up a classic game at any point, you know, on the AFL app or, you know, via Cricket Australia app and be able to bring up any game you like. I think that's where we'll start seeing, I guess, the media deals and the way that it gets done a little bit differently. And that's a way to deliver to those fans in their lounge rooms.
Is there any chance you think in some time down the track we're going to be able to, through, I guess, digitalising or digitalisation of history, we could actually manipulate the old results? Is there any way that that 3-point loss to WA in the 1986 State of Origin game that continually haunts me, we could just sort of get in there and manipulate the DNA like we do in cells and perhaps change that result? Because I've seen that result 35 times and I can never quite get over it.
Well, I think, yeah, I think that's probably something Eddie McGuire would like to do and move that boundary line when Wayne Harms hits back in.
That ball was clearly in.
Oh, no, as a Collingwood man, it was definitely out. but yeah, I think there is definitely opportunities in that space. But I think now it is the time to like start figuring out how we better communicate with those fans. And even things like the 1 week spike of interest in the AFL in the US market, how do we develop a product that fits for the US market so they can consume it?
Well, that was a big opportunity that opened up, and it was one of the real tragedies that we closed the game down as quickly as we did because we had this free hit, and we've never had a free hit before. And gee, it was you know, I thought we'd get 3 or 4 weeks in. And then all of a sudden, states started closing boundaries, et cetera, or borders, and you know it shut down after the one round. But gee, if we had have had enough time for the bush jungle, if they have such a thing in America, to alert millions of people that there was this game on, it would have been quite fascinating.
But I think that's where I think digital can offer that. I think that will still be an option. You know, down the track when footy returns and even when the NFL and the NBA is back in action, you know, 10 million, if we get 10 million fans in the US, that's more fans than are watching AFL in Australia. And so, like, it's just a matter of what does that product look like? How do we develop that product? How do we develop an appetite for that product? Whether it's through players like Mason Cox or, you know, Pat McAfee talking about it on his radio show. I'm sure Hutchie's trying to work a way to get radio rights over to the US right now.
We're speaking to Sean Callanan, who is the founder of SportsGeekHQ.com and also the host of the Sports Geek podcast. Hey, Sean, I know in your podcast you delve into the business of sport a lot. What are the TV rights going to look like now from 2022 onwards? I mean, there's sort of terrible timing for the AFL, given Amazon were just beginning to dip their toes in the water.
Yeah, I think, I think it is a bit of a different landscape, but I also think, I think most sports have been at this Mexican standoff with broadcasters sort of saying, you need us, no, we need you. And I think they'll be a little bit closer together now where they both realise that they do need each other. I think from a TV broadcaster point of view, they realise what their landscape looks like without sport. So I think it actually probably will stabilise the money that maybe the broadcasters put forward. But I also think new and different deals will come out of it. It won't be just a straightforward deal that we might have had in the past. I think we'll see more products being broken up, whether it's between multiple broadcasters or around different games, different nights. I think there'll be a lot more creativity coming out of it, really, because to protect all partners, it's not someone has to win. You really have to make sure that everyone wins, and the broadcasters themselves. You know, they've got to make their money to win, and then you've also got a whole industry of advertisers. They've got to figure out how they are going to advertise, you know, coming out of this crisis.
Sean, we appreciate your time. We're loving the podcast, and look forward to having you on again soon.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Sean Callanan, there, host of the Sports Geek podcast. Yeah, some interesting stuff there, Jared. I'm most fascinated about the money in the game, in as far as TV rights, what that's going to look like from 2022. A lot of the...
I think you're actually not giving due relevance to how long away 2022 is.
That's true. It's not.
It's
right.
A long, long way away.
Because right now, us playing footy again is a long, long way away.
That's right. We've got a long, long autumn and a long winter to get through.
No, you're right. I'm not.
But that's 2020. Then there's all of 2021. And then hopefully, whilst I'm sure there's still economic fallout from it, by 2022, you know, hopefully things are tracking back to where people can see the future. I mean, right now we've got the stock market who thinks they can see the future, and they're buying as if nothing's really changed.
And that story you and I spoke about earlier about, you know, the working groups that the CEOs have put together, this is why one of the legs, you know, the financial working group, is so important, because these will be some of the discussions they're having.
It wouldn't be surprised if, you know, down the track in the next 6 to 12 months, there was just an extension. I mean, it may well have to favour the broadcasters this time around.
Well, Caro's talked about that, hasn't she?
But an extension just for 2 years to allow the game to get back to some element of strength in the longer-term negotiations that will follow. And I think by then also, new technologies will drag other people into the debate.
This is Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Jared, that's it for you and I tonight.
Good work, Scoop. It's been a pleasure.
It has. We'll see you tomorrow on Sports Day, 6 o'clock.